You're watching Silver News Daily. Subscribe for more.
What if this current administration thinks that we have to reset the system and it's better to do it by other countries dumping the dollar? We warned them, how can they do it to us? And well, here's what we're going to do to retaliate, blah, blah, blah. Rather than just the flat out reality of the fact that how the hell do we pay $28 trillion in treasuries that come due in 3 years with only 15?
Just before we get going, we just launched the official Silver News Daily Telegram. To kick things off, we're running a 10-ounce silver giveaway. Yes, real physical silver, not a voucher, not digital credits, actual bullion. This Telegram will be our new home for real-time silver discussions, market insights, collection picks, and everything precious metals. It's where the community truly comes alive. Here's how to enter the 10-ounce silver giveaway. Be subscribed to Silver News Daily on YouTube. Turn on the notification bell. Comment 10-ounce giveaway on 3 separate videos. Be an active member of the Telegram group and say hi. Once we hit 500 active Telegram members, we'll pick one lucky winner to receive 10 ounces of silver shipped directly to you. So get in early, stay active. You've heard it whispered in financial circles and shouted from the rooftops by contrarians. But what if this time they're right? What if silver isn't just another hedge, but the single most explosive financial opportunity of the decade? Right now, with the dollar teeters on the edge of systemic collapse and global powers build new monetary alliances, one trade is flashing like a warning flare. Swap gold for silver or miss the liftoff. And we're not talking about a modest rally. We're talking about 600% surge that could leave gold in the dust and paper assets in ashes. Silver is sitting at levels so undervalued, so historically out of sync with its true role, that experts like Andy Shechtman are calling this the final window before the metals market reprices overnight. But why now? Why is this moment different from all the others? And why are central banks, BRICS nations, and high net worth insiders snapping up physical silver while most investors are still asleep at the wheel? Because the setup is perfect. The dollar's days as global kingpin are numbered, the paper silver markets are stretched to the breaking point, and physical demand is tightening faster than anyone expected. And when the music stops, it's not going to be a gentle correction, it's going to be an explosion. Stick around, because by the end of this, you'll see why Shechtman isn't warning investors out of fear. He's sounding the alarm because the clock is ticking, and once silver moves, there will be no going back.
I mean, but it's crazy. You got Goldman Sachs, of course, in their private letters, not the ones sent out to the public, and no mention by the mainstream saying that their low-end prediction for gold at the end of the year is $35.50, that if they see more ETF inflows to the pandemic levels, $38.80 by year-end, and it could get possibly near $4,500 an ounce by the end of 2025. That's coming from Goldman Sachs. And we don't hear any talk of this. We have gold at $3,300 and no one is talking about it. Again, it's invisible to the public. And so I don't know how it all plays out, but I'll tell you, I would say that we are far, far, far from the end of this game because, as you know, I mean, the fact that gold is at these levels and the mainstream public is asleep, there's very little, if any, retail demand pushing the price higher. Yeah, there is our retail demand, but the mainstream has no idea. And so when you realize that this has been driven, again, by the big money, as we've often talked about, the hedge funds, the family offices, the sovereign wealth funds, and the central banks, and the average person is, again, missing this altogether. That's what's so special about silver. Look, silver's been held down, and I will, to the day I die, believe it's the military-industrial complex and their desire not only to make weapons. I mean, BlackRock owns all the weapon-making companies just about, and they're the custodian of GLD and SLV, and well, they pay for and make the bombs to blow up the countries and then win the contracts to rebuild the countries. It seems like a pretty sweet deal for them in terms of money. They needed to keep silver cheap in order to do it. But things around the world are breaking, whether it be deliveries into the COMEX, the deliveries out of the LBMA, which are breaking the system. China flying around the world and buying doré and concentrate as the second largest producer in the world. All of these things are saying that there's, you know, silver is, in my opinion, the asymmetrical champion risk reward, low downside, high upside. It is maybe the most undervalued best bet of an asset class on the planet. And yeah, it's easy for me to say it as a guy that owns a gold company. I'm tired of even defending that. If you don't see that for what it is, you're not paying close attention. And yes, it's enough to make you pull your hair out of your head, but it will catch up and perform similar to gold, only I believe at a much higher clip in terms of percentage gain. So for me, silver is still the preeminent value. And even if you buy silver with the intention of someday converting it to gold, if all it does is fall back to its 150, 200 year average of mid 40s to 1, it's a double. So, you know, if you could buy 10 ounces of gold today, you put the equivalent into silver. And when the ratio corrects just to its average price of nearly two centuries, you're still 6 to 7 times off of what it's coming out of the ground at that price. I mean, that's a long way from where
the
it should
dollar
be.
Has long
it's
been
a double
up by
plus.
Perception.
So, yeah, I think
seen
it's an opportunity we don't see very
finance,
often.
The one currency you could trust when everything else fell apart. But that perception is cracking, and the fractures are now impossible to ignore. Decades of unchecked money printing, ballooning national debt, and aggressive geopolitical policies have pushed trust in the dollar to its limits. And as that trust erodes, the fallout is starting to seep through every corner of the financial system. Right now, the dollar isn't just facing pressure from inflation or political instability. It's facing coordinated moves from some of the world's largest economies to dethrone it entirely. BRICS nations are working toward a new reserve currency. Central banks are slashing their dollar holdings. And key U.S. allies are beginning to hedge their bets with alternative systems for trade and finance. The result? A tidal wave of de-dollarization is gaining momentum. And when it hits full force, the shock will ripple through bond markets, equities, and fiat currencies alike. We're already seeing signs of this shift. In 2023 alone, nearly 20% of oil trades were conducted outside of the dollar, an unthinkable break from decades of petrodollar dominance. Sanctioned nations like Russia and Iran are actively bypassing the dollar in international settlements. And most alarmingly, even longtime dollar holders like China and Japan have begun quietly unloading U.S. treasuries, preparing for a world where dollar liquidity isn't a given, it's a liability. This kind of unraveling doesn't happen in a vacuum. As the dollar's dominance slips, global capital has to find new anchors. And it's no coincidence that we're seeing gold and silver being accumulated at record speed. Because when trust in fiat evaporates, hard money doesn't just become a safe haven, it becomes the only haven.
You know, typically gold goes first, silver goes further. I mean, that's a truism that there are many examples where you can show that, but gold has gone first for sure. The setup for silver is even stronger and more compressed, like a coiled spring, than with gold. And it's the reality that people don't want to deal with, that silver is more important than gold to some of the very big players like the military industrial complex, as we've talked about, who needs copious amounts to make their high-tech weaponry. And that works real well in an environment where no one's buying silver. But the amount of, look, we saw 50 million ounces delivered into the first day of the March contract, 50 million ounces on day one. And so the demand for silver is off the charts. You're seeing India buy 900 million ounces of it in the last 4 years or thereabouts. That's more than the COMEX and the LBMA combined. And you see China, the second largest producer in the world, flying all around Latin America, buying doré and concentrate. What do they need to do that for? And then sending it back to be refined. It's being accumulated by the state in Russia, the first government that I know of that's made a public admission of this. And so, you know, the amount of silver drained from the LBMA, 70 million ounces, all-time monthly record in January, huge deliveries in February, and very large deliveries in March, although the LBMA is kind of putting the brakes on it because they're getting bled dry. Evidently, it's a shortage of trucks in the UK that is not enabling them to continue to deliver at the same fashion. But any way you look at it, this is an opportunity that you don't see very often in investing ever, where if you traded your gold to silver, a double plus would be just reaching the 200-year average, price average of the two, which would still be over 6 to 7 times higher than it's coming out of the ground at. it's one of these deals where, you know, I think the asymmetrical risk reward in trading gold to silver is probably the lowest I've ever seen, where you trade an ounce of gold, which in fact I did it gold eagles to silver eagles today, and it amounted to 85, 86 ounces in eagles. If you were to do it in something else, it would be even more. But even 86 to one in real terms is off the charts. So, you know, you get 86 ounces of eagles for every gold eagle or thereabout and about. And if all that we saw was that it went back to its 200-year price average of the mid-40s, you double what you started with by trading back into gold. And I think it's a no-brainer. So, yeah, these are trades you don't see but maybe once or twice a lifetime or a career. It is a no-brainer from a standpoint of historical context in both gold and silver pricing and in their relationship.
At the center of this de-dollarization wave is a quietly brewing revolution, one that's being orchestrated by the BRICS nations. What started as a loose economic alliance between Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa has evolved into a financial resistance movement, and their target is clear, the U.S. dollar. In 2024, at the BRICS summit in Kazan, discussions about launching a new gold-backed currency, the unit, move from speculative chatter to coordinated strategy. This isn't just about creating a new form of payment, it's about dismantling the dollar's monopoly on global trade. For decades, the dollar has held an iron grip over energy markets, banking systems, and international settlements. But the BRICS bloc, now bolstered by interest from dozens of other nations, sees that grip as a weapon, one that the U.S. wields to impose sanctions, control narratives, and manipulate financial flows. So now these countries are building alternatives: gold settlements, cross-border payment systems, and bilateral trade deals that bypass SWIFT entirely. If successful, this could deliver a fatal blow to the dollar's relevance on the world stage. And here's where it gets interesting. Gold might be the foundation of this new system, but silver is the high-leverage play hiding in plain sight. If BRICS actually launches a gold-backed currency or even moves significantly toward that goal, the implications for silver are enormous. Because in a world where real assets back money, silver reclaims its historical role not just as an industrial metal, but as monetary metal. And while gold is already pricing in this shift, silver hasn't even started. That's the opportunity. While the world debates whether BRICS can pull this off, major players are already positioning, stockpiling gold, but also snapping up silver. And when this move goes mainstream, it won't be gradual. It'll be a stampede.
No one knows it. I mean, it's so underplayed by the media. It's absolutely crazy. And if you would have told me we'd be at 3,300 gold and no one would notice it, I would be completely dumbfounded. And that's where we are. The retail hasn't taken part in this at all. So as we've talked about on your show a million times, the little man rule, or just the very fact that the big money always positions in front of the herd, well, you could argue that's what we see right now. And everyone's been waiting for the other shoe to drop in gold. You know, it did drop while I was in Europe, of course, and fell by $200. But when it fell by $200, the amount of closing out of open interest was in the billions of dollars. In other words, the managed money who had gotten really long against large short positions by the commercial banks, you know, how many more times can they do this? Can they drop the price down to bail them out? Well, that's what they did. They smashed the price and they closed like $4-5 billion, maybe even more $1 billion worth of contracts that were open that could have stood for delivery. And then the price goes up $300. And the same thing is true with silver. So there are desperate attempts to keep the price from rising too fast and being on the wrong side of it. And yet, even after they smash it, where in years past it never would have come back, here we are way past where it started when they knocked it down to almost 3,000, just under 3,000, I think, from around 32 and change to now over 3,300. And it's come back in a matter of 2 weeks. And so there's strength and something going on in the gold market. And you put all of these things together, you have the biggest money in the world accumulating and onshoring and repatriating gold, getting out of the system. You have talk of gold being integrated into a new system. Even the BRICS has said, Dilma Rousseff, we've agreed to a new settlement token, the unit backed by and redeemable in gold. All of these things. How many clues do we all need to understand that gold is going to be somehow, some way, whether it be through the unit, whether it be through gold-backed treasuries or something that we don't see. Gold is reintegrating into the monetary system, and the biggest players in the world, I don't care what they say, their actions are telling you that is indeed the truth.
In the middle of this global realignment, something unusual happened, something that should have sent investors running into the arms of so-called safe havens, like U.S. bonds and the dollar. But they didn't. Instead, they ran the other way. Tariff shocks, trade tensions, and policy chaos sent markets spiraling, yet instead of pouring into long-term treasuries and greenbacks, investors bailed. Bonds were sold off aggressively. The dollar dipped against rival currencies. And the strategy Wall Street called risk-free, the infamous basis trade, nearly unraveled, revealing just how fragile the system really is. This wasn't supposed to happen. In moments of crisis, conventional wisdom says that capital rotates into safety. But what if the world no longer believes that U.S. debt is safe? What if the dollar isn't the escape hatch? It's the fire itself. That's what we saw in early April, when yields on 30-year treasuries spiked at their fastest pace in over four decades, pushing the MOVE Index, Wall Street's bond fear gauge, to its highest level since 2023. Hedge funds were forced to unwind positions. Foreign holders like Japan and China reportedly dumped treasuries. Panic set in, not just about markets, but about the very foundations of the financial system. That moment exposed the illusion. The idea that the dollar and treasuries are safe havens is only true if the rest of the world agrees to play along. But now, with global inflation rising, supply chains fracturing, and nations actively seeking alternatives, investors are beginning to realize the old rules don't apply. The U.S. financial system has become too leveraged, too politicized, and too dependent on artificially low interest rates to maintain control. And while everyone's still busy watching the Fed, smart money is already making its move. Because in this new environment, safety isn't about holding the least worst fiat. It's about owning assets no central bank can print. And that's where silver enters the picture, not as a hedge, not as a trade, but as a lifeline.
Really, all of this stuff started changing when I started coming on your show. We started by talking about gold's reclassification as a tier one. We talked about the central banks going on a buying spree. We talked about the central banks going on a repatriation spree. We've seen the rise of the classification called the others on the COMEX that had started draining the COMEX in 2020. I started saying to you on your show, this never happened before. What the heck's going on? We've seen this trend continue. We see the central banks continuing to buy gold and silver. We see, and those numbers increasing. We see the repatriation by central banks continuing. We see the United States become a net importer of gold and silver, in particular gold, since November. We see massive deliveries into the COMEX since November. We see a LBMA breaking down. We see an LBMA that was T plus one, now T plus 8 weeks. So from one day plus the trade day, 3 day settlement, you're now at 8 weeks. That seems like a default. We see JP Morgan, who always I lamented, how could they be allowed to be the custodian of the world's largest silver trust after paying the largest fine the Justice Department ever handed out for manipulating the market? Well, they've now become primary custodian along with BlackRock, not only of SLD, but also GLD. In two vaults, they hold more gold than 80% of the G20 countries. All of these things together are substantial. You put them together, something much bigger is happening. You look at Judy Shelton talk about 50-year treasuries that she is convinced will be announced on July 4th, 2026, the 250th year anniversary of this country. She says Trump has told her that. They've had discussions on it. You see talks from the head of the Dutch National Bank and the Bundesbank and Senator Loomis from Wyoming talking about revaluing gold. All of these things continue to come together. And maybe what's even the most interesting about all of it is that gold's at all-time highs, but how many people even know it? Yeah, the people watching this show know it. But
silver thrives in chaos, not in the early waves when fear drives investors to gold, but in the aftermath, when the system's cracks have grown too wide to ignore. That's when silver wakes up. It lags gold, always has, but when it catches up, it does so with a fury that rewrites market expectations. We've seen it before. In 1980, silver rocketed from under $6 to nearly $50 in just months. In 2011, it ran from $9 to almost $50 again. These weren't slow, steady climbs. They were vertical takeoffs fueled by panic, supply stress, and a mad dash for real assets. And today we're looking at an eerily similar setup. Gold has already broken out, hitting record highs on the back of central bank buying and a weakening dollar. Silver? Still suppressed, still quiet, still sitting far below its inflation-adjusted highs. But that silence is misleading, because beneath the surface, the pressure is building. Industrial demand is soaring, physical supply is tightening, and the broader market is waking up to the realization that silver isn't just an industrial commodity, it's monetary metal with a vengeance. What's different this time is the convergence of forces. In previous bull runs, silver surged on monetary panic or industrial expansion, but rarely both at once. Now, we have a global liquidity crisis, a dollar on the brink, and a green energy revolution, all demanding more silver than the market can provide. It's a perfect storm. And when silver moves, it won't be polite. It will leap, not crawl, toward its rightful value, dragging with it the portfolios of those who positioned early, and leaving everyone else scrambling to catch a train that's already left the station. Because silver doesn't just follow gold. It overcorrects, it overcompensates, and it delivers returns that make gold look conservative.
I guess the comment would be what we see happening right now with China. And, you know, so we give a 90-day hold or a 90-day reprieve on these tariffs. They're not tariffs. And I want to just comment on the tariffs for a minute. You know, at first blush, you think, yeah, it is unfair. We pay tariffs and they don't. But is it really unfair? Because all of these countries that are, you know, selling us their goods because we're a more wealthy, industrious nation, of course, you're going to have a trade imbalance here. The trade gap will look ugly on paper. But, you know, and sure, I he wants better terms. Trump does. But the idea here is that these countries who are we're buying their goods, or they are selling us our goods, you know, our creditor, if you will, they're our creditor in the respect that they're keeping us afloat by buying our treasuries, and they're keeping us afloat by using our dollar as the global reserve, which keeps our interest rates low, which keeps our asset prices high, which keeps the goods that the consumers buy cheap. So sure, the trade gap doesn't look good, but is it fair that we impose these sanctions and we expect these countries to put proceeds into treasuries to support this lifestyle of ours and keep rates low and to use the dollar? And to that point, we are rattling perhaps the wrong saber or barking up the wrong tree. You know, we talk a lot about Project Enbridge and how that got pulled away. Well, here it is again, rearing its head in a different manner. And they're not calling it Enbridge. Let me read something to you. The People's Bank of China, this just I read yesterday, has announced that its digital RMB, Renminbi, cross-border settlement system is now fully connected to 10 ASEAN countries. These are the countries in Southeast Asia and six Middle Eastern nations. This development enables approximately 38% of global trade to bypass the traditional SWIFT system, which is predominantly used for transactions in the U.S., allowing these trades to be settled directly in digital RMB. And here's the thing. It highlights in practical terms China's digital currency bridge. This is the Enbridge. Has significantly reduced cross-border payment processing times from a typical 3 to 5 days associated with SWIFT to approximately 7 seconds. Friends,
all eyes are now on the gold to silver ratio, the market's most ignored yet most predictive indicator. Historically, this ratio swings like a pendulum, and right now it's swinging hard in silver's favor. In times of monetary crisis, the ratio has always collapsed, not because gold falls, but because silver explodes. When the ratio tightens, it signals a revaluation of silver relative to gold. And that revaluation often plays out in dramatic fashion. Let's put it into context. For most of the 20th century, the gold-to-silver ratio hovered around 40 to 50. But in recent years, it's been stuck at historically extreme levels, hovering near 80, 90, even over 100 at times. That's not just unusual. It's a flashing red alert that silver is being artificially suppressed or vastly misunderstood by the market. And when this ratio begins to mean revert, as it always does, silver has to rise fast to catch up with gold, if gold is pushing toward $3,000. And the ratio returns to its historical norm of 40, you're looking at silver north of $75, even without any added market frenzy. But here's the catch. In past crises, the ratio didn't just normalize, it overshot. In 1980, the ratio briefly touched 15. In 2011, it dipped below 35. If we apply those historical precedents to today's gold levels, silver could easily blast past $100. And that's without even accounting for the current supply squeeze or record-setting industrial demand. The ratio doesn't lie. When it shifts, it telegraphs what's coming before the mainstream media even sees it. This isn't a forecast, it's a pressure gauge. And right now, it's screaming that silver is coiled like a spring waiting for the trigger. When that moment comes, those who've been watching the ratio won't be surprised. They'll be prepared.
Those short futures got margin called, and because it went up so fast, it went up 60 basis points in 3 days. It's the biggest jump in bond yields in 3 days since 1982, and it's probably the sharpest split between bond yields and stock prices ever. And so what happened was all of this selling, these hedge funds got margin calls and had to sell their treasuries, which pushed rates up even higher. And this is exactly what happened to long-term capital management. And so you're talking something that was hopefully contained, but it goes to show the amount of leverage that's in the system. And very easily, at the exact same time, you know, we have $6 trillion in treasuries coming due next month. $6 trillion. We have $28 trillion due by 2028 with only roughly $15 trillion in tax revenue. That's a problem. How do you come up? You're 50% there and doesn't even take into account the spending we're doing between now and then. So a lot of people talk about, you know, Trump was trying to push the stock market down, talk it down so that rates would go down. People would jump into the or get out of the risk on trade and move into the safety of rate treasuries, which would push yields down to refinance this $6 trillion in debt that comes due next month. It went the other way. At the same time, this is when we need it most because our foreign investors are losing confidence in this, especially as the trade unwinds and these funds are forced to sell. It causes sudden and violent moves in the bond market, in the debt market. And how much longer are these creditors of ours going to keep lending us money for 10 years at 4% with this kind of volatility when our deficits are running closer to 7% of GDP, when inflation's running higher than 4%, and we have this kind of volatility, this leverage created by the hedge funds that very quickly can blow things up by almost 1% in 3 days. That doesn't move that way. So anyways, crazy, crazy times and scary volatility in the bond market and the stock market goes to show how fast things can get out of control.
But while the ratio quietly flashes a warning, the paper silver market is holding on to a secret that could detonate everything. It's built on promises, promises that may never be fulfilled. For years, institutions and big banks have shorted silver through the paper market, suppressing prices with contracts that far exceed the amount of physical silver that actually exists. This game of financial musical chairs has worked so far because the music never stops. But when it does, and enough people demand delivery instead of paper profit, the entire scheme unravels. It's already starting. Physical silver premiums are rising. Delivery times are stretching. Some bullion dealers are reporting delays, supply gaps, and outright shortages. And yet, the paper price of silver remains eerily calm, disconnected from the real-world scramble for the metal itself. This disconnect can't last forever. Eventually, someone calls the bluff. All it takes is one panic event, one geopolitical flashpoint, one banking scandal, one wave of fear, and a surge of investors demanding physical delivery could force a massive unwind of paper contracts. And when that happens, silver's price doesn't just go up, it goes parabolic. Because unlike stocks or bonds, you can't just print more silver. You either have it or you don't. And the paper market, bloated with leverage and false liquidity, has no choice but to collapse inward. Forced liquidations, margin calls, short squeezes. It becomes a cascade, a feedback loop of panic where everyone tries to get out. But there's no exit, because the silver was never really there to begin with. This isn't just a price event, it's a trust event. When confidence in the paper market dies, so does the illusion of control. And when that day comes, the repricing of silver will be immediate, violent, and irreversible.
The basis trade is what we've seen happen just last week with the stock market and the bond market moving in opposite directions. And it was, in essence, the bond market coming this close to breaking. It's the exact same thing that happened with long-term capital management, the hedge fund, I think in the late 90s, that the Fed had to bail out because it was this close to breaking the entire system. And in essence, what it is that, and especially, you know, and by the way, long-term capital management was a grouping of Nobel and, you know, like prize winning economists. And I think a couple of them were, one of them had won the Nobel Prize in economics. These were the smartest of the smart. They figured it was a risk-free trade. In essence, what they do is they buy as many 10-year treasuries as they can, and they lever up on it by going massively levered with using derivatives to buy as many 10-year treasuries as they can. And then simultaneously, they short the 10-year treasury future, which has a little bit of a premium to it. And they just capture the spread because when it expires, they net each other out and you just keep the premium. And that's supposedly a risk-free trade. And because of the Dodd-Frank Act and, you know, these banks can't do speculative things anymore. Well, so that's what they do. They buy all of these treasuries and the Fed likes that because we've seen central bank selling. So get the hedge funds to load up on treasuries to massively, use the collateral, if you will, to use the fractional reserve system type of environment of levering up those treasuries as much as 100-fold. Even at 20-fold, a 5% drop wipes out the whole thing. But at 100-fold, a 1% drop wipes out the whole thing. So you have these banks who think it's risk-free. They buy treasuries and sell treasury futures to simultaneously capture the spread. Well, what happened was last week when the 10-year treasury went up by 60 basis points at the same time the S&P dropped by 8%. They're supposed to move inverse of each other. If the S&P is throwing up, the money should be running into treasuries, into the safety of treasuries, which would lower rates. But in essence, what happened is the rates started to spike for whatever reason, which it blew out the short-term lending rate. So
meanwhile, behind the scenes, central banks and BRICS nations are doing something the average investor isn't. They're hoarding silver, quietly, relentlessly. While headlines focus on gold accumulation, silver has been flowing out of global inventories at an alarming rate, and the official numbers don't tell the full story. Massive stockpiles from ETFs and vaults are being drained, not by retail investors chasing trends, but by institutions and state-level entities preparing for a paradigm shift in money itself. The silver supply crunch isn't a future risk, it's happening now. According to recent estimates, we've entered our fourth consecutive year of a physical silver deficit. Mine production has stagnated. Recycling can't keep up. Yet demand, especially from industrial sectors and sovereign buyers, is surging. Silver isn't just being accumulated as an investment. It's being locked away, removed from circulation, and positioned as a strategic reserve. This is how real wealth moves. Silently, methodically, and always early. And the motives are clear. BRICS. Nations want financial independence. They know that control over hard assets is the ultimate leverage in a world moving away from fiat dominance. They're not just buying gold, they're targeting silver because it's both industrially essential and historically monetary. It serves a dual role, making it a uniquely powerful asset in a time of transition. Retail investors haven't caught on yet, but the elites have. Central banks are adjusting their reserves, BRICS leaders are experimenting with blockchain-based settlements, massive off-exchange transactions are happening with little media coverage, and every ounce of silver they buy is one less ounce available when the herd finally arrives. Because in this new system, silver won't just be valuable, it will be foundational.
Well, you know, when people hear that the hedge funds are the ones doing this, and the Fed has even floated some, there's been talk of them bailing out the hedge funds, the positions are that big. Some people say, well, let them go down, let them suffer, but who's borrowing them the money to make these levered trades? That's right. That's the banks. And so when you talk about rates that are spiking, it could, in theory, blow up some of the biggest banks on the planet, let alone the brokerages. The great taking comes into play. This could have rippling effects through the insurance companies, of course, rising yields are not healthy for the real estate market, for the stock market, for the bond market, for the banks, for the insurance companies. It's a very big deal. This is what happens when you create a reality for 3+ decades of suppressed interest rates and easy money, which creates distortions and misallocations of resource and capital. And the distortions in the asset prices are greatly distorted when the thought of yields rising above 5% sends massive shockwaves through the entire system. Well, what if they blew through that because everyone dumps simultaneously? This is the same thing that I talked about for years under the Biden administration. It was too stupid to be stupid. Well, what if this current administration actually agrees with that, thinks that we have to reset the system and it's better to do it by other countries dumping the dollar? We warned them, how can they do it to us? And well, here's what we're going to do to retaliate, blah, 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 rather than just the flat out reality of the fact that how the hell do we pay $28 trillion in treasuries that come due in 3 years with only $15 trillion in tax revenue? I mean, how do we continue to fund our military, a $1 trillion military budget this year that's all discretionary, in meaning we need to borrow money by selling bonds? Well, what if no one wants to buy our bonds? Well, that means that you have to see the Fed come in and buy them by printing money, which creates inflation, which, I mean, all roads lead to the same place. We're trapped. The Fed is trapped. And so I think that's to average mom, pa, you know, yeah, they're a long ways away from the hedge fund world, but the ramifications, the systemic nature of a system that actually contemplates bailing out these companies, because what it would do to the whole system is real. And a system that is as over leveraged and indebted as ours is very dangerous. You bring down one very large bank because of these decisions, the ramifications goes all the way out to middle America and mom and pa, not just the big hedge funds and the banks on Wall Street.
All of this sets the stage for one outcome, an explosive vertical move in silver that can materialize almost overnight. This isn't a slow grind upward. It's a slingshot waiting to release. And the mechanisms that could launch silver into the stratosphere are already in motion. First, there's the short squeeze dynamic. As more investors demand physical delivery, the already stressed supply chain tightens. Banks and institutions, caught short, are forced to cover their positions at any price. That's when silver gaps higher, sometimes by dollars in a single trading session. But it doesn't stop there. When the physical price of silver breaks away from the paper market, it triggers a cascade of forced realignments, dealers raise premiums, ETFs struggle to source physical silver, major exchanges face delivery stress. And that's when margin calls start to hit, rapid, uncontrollable, and devastating for anyone on the wrong side of the trade. Funds are liquidated, shorts are squeezed, and as prices spike, the headlines begin to catch up, drawing in a second wave of retail investors. Only this time, the window to buy low has slammed shut. And then there's the final accelerant, fear. Fear that the fiat system is crumbling, fear that currencies are being devalued in real time, fear that tomorrow's paycheck won't hold the same purchasing power. In that kind of environment, silver transforms from a speculative asset into a monetary lifeline. People don't just want it, they need it. And because so little of the global silver supply is actually available for purchase, the price becomes elastic. Every dollar higher brings more urgency, more buyers, and fewer sellers. That's the ignition sequence. When it starts, there's no going back. And those who waited for confirmation will be left watching silver fly past $50, $75, even $100, wondering how they missed the only warning they needed.
No, I know that I had mentioned to you that there were some Brixens, but to me, this is the same thing. This is the Brixens that... This is, again, thinking big picture. You unite and build the infrastructure between the Belt Road and all of these other nations that are aligned geographically with the BRICS and with Asia. It's a natural that you would see integration or trading permits, or, you know, it's just geographically, if these countries, like all the Southeast Asian countries, had to choose sides between the United States or their neighbors, I have a hard time believing they'll choose the United States. And this is exactly what this is saying. So to me, this is the BRICS. It's an expansion of the BRICS. Even if we don't call it the BRICS, a lot of these countries are the ones who informally express interest in joining the BRICS. Some have formally. Look at Indonesia, is now a full member. there are a lot of these countries that I'm sure are saying, yeah, let's get the infrastructure set up and then we will join so that it's a seamless transaction so we don't get hurt by, you know, the tariffs or by the sanctions or by a vindictive White House. So to me, it's kind of increasing the BRICS influence through the back door.
And that brings us to Andy Shechtman, the man who's been ahead of this curve while the rest of the world looked the other way. For years, he's warned that silver is the most manipulated, misunderstood, and undervalued asset in the entire financial system. But now, he's not just warning, he's forecasting. Shechtman is calling for a 600% move in silver, not as a wild guess, but as a logical result of the forces we've just explored. He sees the collapse of trust in fiat currencies. He sees the rise of real money systems backed by gold. He watches central banks ditch the dollar and stockpile metals. And most importantly, he sees what's happening in the physical silver market every single day, how the biggest buyers in the world are moving aggressively while retail investors hesitate. According to Shechtman, the breakpoint is coming. And when it does, the revaluation of silver will be unlike anything we've seen before. This isn't a market call. It's a monetary reset. And Shechtman's message is clear. Those who wait for mainstream validation will miss the move. Because by the time silver hits $100, or $200, or $500, the opportunity to reposition wealth will be long gone. What he's urging is not panic, it's preparation. A recalibration of strategy before the shift hits critical mass. And if you look at the trajectory of history, the stress on global finance, and the silent but strategic moves being made by governments and financial elites, it's hard to argue with him. Silver isn't just going to move, it's going to explode. And Shechtman is telling you to act now, before the fuse runs out.
Since a pilot transaction between Hong Kong and Abu Dhabi demonstrated that a company could pay a Middle Eastern supplier using digital RMB, eliminating the need for multiple intermediary banks and achieving a real-time settlement with a 98% reduction in handling fees. This advancement is part of China's broader strategy to internationalize the renminbi with initiatives like the Belt and Road, which we've talked about, and the challenge to dollar's dominance in U.S. dollar and global trade. So here you have it. You're pushing these countries into not only joining BRICS like Indonesia did, but to taking this technology and integrating it in with all of the countries that aren't even in BRICS yet. They're all coming together, including the Belt Road, which is 75% of human population and 50% of plus of global GDP. You have to wonder again, could this be intended? Is this what they're trying to do? Under the Biden administration, it was so stupid. It was too stupid to be stupid. That's why I thought it. But here, again, this is why, you know, this is where conspiracy theories are born. Is he the Trojan horse or is he riding on it? I would vote for him again. I'm glad he's here. But I'm simply saying some of these moves, as provocative as they are, creating these consequences, does he not know that this will happen? And you're doing this now where you see China and South Korea and Japan get together to talk strategy because of the sanctions, because of the tariffs. And these are countries that aren't really allies. And at the same time, two of the three of them are the biggest creditors to us in our treasury market. We're pushing all of these countries into alternatives, and it's happening in real time. I think it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. And all of this will be reflecting of higher rates as these countries dump treasuries and go a different direction. Instead of putting the excess reserves, as they always have, into treasuries to keep our rates low and support our debt binge, well, now they're putting it into gold, into other things. What is gold? But the only other tier one reserve asset next to treasuries. And it's doubled the performance over the last 25 years. And look at last year. It was up 40%. The treasury was up 4%. Easy decision, no counterparty risk. Same trend we're seeing happen right now. So anyways, these are times where there's so many balls and angles. It's like watching a pinball bounce around. It's hard to follow it and know where it's going next. But I think what's happening with the bond market is symptomatic and emblematic of bigger problems ahead.
The writing's on the wall. The dollar is losing its grip, the paper silver market is on the brink, and the world's biggest players are moving into hard assets with urgency. Silver isn't just catching up, it's preparing to leap ahead in a once-in-a-generation reset of value. The 600% explosion Andy Shechtman predicts isn't just possible. It's a rational response to monetary distortion, global de-dollarization, and collapsing trust in the financial system. Right now, you have a choice. Wait for confirmation and buy into the mania at $100, or position ahead of the curve while silver remains suppressed. The clock is ticking, and the breakout could come without warning. Overnight, with no time to react. This isn't about hype. It's about understanding where the world is heading and realizing that silver may be the only asset that's both ignored and essential. So if you see the writing, don't wait for the headline. This is your moment. And if you want to stay ahead of the shift, make sure to subscribe. Stay alert, stay prepared, and always remember, this is not financial advice. Speak to a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.